Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are live. We are live. Nubs Country Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 16 with Justin Fireball. I can't believe it. We're into our 16th episode. We're just chugging along here in the world of podcasts. I got my partner in crime, my amigo, Big Country, on in the studio with us as well. How you doing, Big Country?
Doing good, Joey Nugs. I want to apologize for my lack of appearance last week, but, you know, I know Nugs took care of business, and I'm very positive that it was a good show, you know.
Manning. It was a great podcast. There was no doubt about that. I mean, let's be honest. I got 15 minutes I need to kill at the beginning of a show. I had Jake Manning. You can't ask for a better guest than Jake Manning. Man, Jake is so passionate about pro wrestling, about life, of all the different things he's doing. It was a great interview. So, I mean, that was no problem at all, brother. And sometimes, business calls and you got to answer. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I know we're about to get into our rant for the week, but I just wanted to take a time because I wasn't here last week. I want to say congratulations. WrestleMania weekend, there's a lot of guys that we all know that have come from the indies and have made it to the big stage. Guys like, you know, Dashing Dawson, Mr. Apollo Crews, John Schuyler getting to wrestle in his hometown with NXT. I mean, you know, it's proof that, you know, you can make it. You know, it doesn't have to be politics. It doesn't have to be who you know and who you blow. These guys got there on pure talent and pure talent alone. I mean, and I just want to say, you know, congratulations to all those guys that were able to, you know, reach that upper echelon and, you know, got to be there for WrestleMania weekend, whether it be with NXT or with the big show. So,
yeah, I think so too. I mean, a lot of great things have happened, and I think it's great that NXT is making the Carolinas a regular. We're always a hotbed here, but they're making us a regular part of their circuit. Phenomenal. Gives a lot of local wrestlers that are NXT a chance to get a lot of exposure. I mean, definitely that's fabulous. Let me see. Talk about this week. This week's rant is going to be, we call this Pissed Off and Mad About It, after the intro music from Texas Hippie Coalition. Also, before I get into the rant, I was got an honorable mention. Every year the band brings up a certain amount of fans, people close enough to them that they consider family. And they had eight this year that they brought up and made it, and they're going to be full patch members, and they get the highest respect amongst the family and the fan base. But I got an honorable mention, so I guess next year I'm in like Flynn to get patched over. So I'll have the big patches and I'll be at the top of the rock and roll elite. But either way, I got coming up here the first week of May, I am going to be at the Carolina Rebellion, and I get backstage passes to hang out with the Texas Hippie Coalition. So the rest of you people, if you paying for tickets, you won't be hanging out backstage like I will be with the rest of the rock and roll stars. But anyhow, that's another story. But this week's rant, pissed off and mad about it, is you don't kick a motherfucker when he's down. You just don't kick a motherfucker when he's down. I mean, this morning, I went to McDonald's. It was kind of a cold and rainy morning here in my Carolina. Had some rain. I know in North Carolina they had rain. Here in South Carolina, where I was at, they had rain. And so I stopped at McDonald's early this morning, get me some McDonald's and for a little breakfast. And I walked past a homeless guy. On my way to the bathroom. I took for granted he was homeless. I like to call them street nomads, people that are out there just living the life. But sometimes, you know, people, you don't know what a man's situation is, you know. Not everyone in this world chooses to be homeless. Sometimes they just get put in a situation from things in the world. But I walked past this man. He wasn't bothering nobody. He's sitting against the wall back by the bathrooms. If anything, he's trying to not be noticed because he doesn't want to get in the way of anyone. He's just trying to stay warm on a cold day, on a wet day. And I'm just as I get my food, I hear someone scream, "You've got to get out of here. Leave right now. Get your things and get out of here. You're not eating. You're not spending no money. Leave right now." And I walked right over to where they were at. and it's a fat, angry McDonald's manager, and she's yelling at this homeless guy. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, this is my friend. I said, he was waiting here. I said, for me to hand him his food. I said, here's your food. I said, you want a coffee, right? He said, yeah, coffee's great. I looked at her. I said, what's the problem? I said, he's just sitting here waiting on me. No, he's in here all the time. And I looked at her. I said, why don't you have a fucking heart? I said, this guy ain't hurting a damn soul in the world. He's sitting here trying to stay warm and dry on a cold, wet morning. I said, you're fucking with him because of what? I said, have a little heart and compassion. Be happy. Be relishing the fact that you have a home. You have a job that you're able to make money at. You relishing the fact that tonight you're going to know where you're going to lay your head. Relishing the fact that sometime during the day you're going to have a warm meal in your stomach. This man doesn't know where he's going to eat. He doesn't know where he's going to sleep. He's trying to stay warm on a cold day, and you're fucking with him. I don't know. I mean, there was another, there was an old woman standing next to me. She goes, yeah, that was pretty bad. You need to leave people alone. Talking to the manager, and the manager just kind of walked off, and I gave the man breakfast, and I went over and ordered another breakfast for myself, and I took off after that. But what the fuck? Can a man sit and stay warm on a cold day?
You see that crap all the time with people, man. Nobody, I mean, it's those people that have never had been down and out. You know, I mean, if you haven't had to, you know, struggle. And, you know, like me, there was a point where I got real bad in my life, and I was sleeping in my Camaro for, about 2.5 months. Yeah, I was able to go to my mom's place and shower and stuff, but, you know, it was bad. And, you know, so anytime I can help, you know, anytime I can, you know, do anything for anybody, you know, I'm always there to do it because I know how it feels. But then you have those people that don't, and they're the ones without a heart, and they're the ones that, you know, act all high and mighty. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm a big believer in karma, and karma's going to come back and bite you in the ass. You know, she might lose her job. She might lose her house. She might be that one person sitting in a McDonald's trying to stay warm, having somebody yell at her, and they need to get out. Like, they're less than a person just because they fell on hard times. People like that make me want to just walk up and smack the piss out of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm choosing a higher road here in the second half of what they call my life, because I'm in my middle age right now. So back in the day, if it took me back to 18 years old, I'd have probably come over the counter and punched a lady in the mouth, but I'm not trying to do that no more. So I chose to take a higher road and humiliate the woman, maybe give you a little humility, and she could learn not to treat people that well. It was just bad. I mean, it makes any sense why people want to treat people that bad.
I say next time you run up on a situation like that, Joey Noe should pull out his phone, recorder, and put her on blast.
I need to. I really, I wish, these are times that I wish I had a film crew that just followed around with me. Because honestly, my life at times is a reality television show waiting to happen. People just don't, and they think I make this stuff up. They think that this stuff that I talk about is just made up. No. I have people ask me what's I got regular listeners that listen every week, and they hit me up and they send messages. What's this week's rant going to be about? And I'm like, I can't tell you. They was like, well, do you have a topic? I said, no, I'll let you know. I said, I'll know when it hits me during the day. Something will piss me off. I'll see something out here that someone did something wrong to somebody. Someone's going to rub me the wrong way, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to be pissed off and mad about it. It's going to happen. It happens all the damn time.
I don't know. I think Joey Noe should start his own blog. You know, get you a little GoPro and, you know, take it on the road with you when you go to shows, you know, live interviews and stuff. You know, I think that, you know, as successful as our podcast is becoming, I think that a lot of people would want to see the life and times of Joey Noe live, you know.
I tried doing it, but sometimes it's hard to be filming and holding the camera at the same time, unless you're going to carry a tripod around with you 24/7. I mean,
well, they got the little GoPros.
You got to have someone that'll hold the camera for you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you can find a lackey.
Yeah, I mean, I need a lackey that to travel with Joey Nuggs and be the camera stand. Here, hold this. Zoom in and out for us.
But yeah, you know, I mean, people, if you guys come up on somebody who's fallen on hard times, a little less fortunate within you, and you got some change in your pocket, the fact of the matter is, you know, help them out. You know, it's, you can tell the obvious ones that sit on the side of the road. I passed a guy that had one of those signs that said, homeless and hungry, please help, God bless. This guy had more expensive shoes on than I did.
Yeah.
And he was rocking, like, his, like, you could tell, his clothes weren't worn. You know, he was clean shaven, and product in his hair. And I'm like, you know, this is one of those dudes that you read about that just, you know, has a full-time job and just does this because, you know, you can make, I mean, depending on where you, you know, you beg at, you can make a pretty good amount each day.
Oh, yeah, and it's tax-free. It's tax-free. You ain't paying a dime tax to nobody on everything you make. And you make $10 an hour panhandling, you keep the whole $10. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of, some of the people are out there, yeah, they're really doing that. But a lot of people out there are really homeless and going through hard times. And I'm gonna tell you something. It's changing in your console inside your cup holder. You're handing out a buck and change, but maybe you're making a difference in someone's life. I mean, like you said, you got karma. You could either try to make rationalize it, but if someone's lying that hard to try to bum a dollar off you, then they're working hard anyway.
You know, yeah, I mean, to you, it's just, you know, spare change in your console. To them, it's, you know, something to eat and something to keep them, you know, give them some energy and keep them going, you know. It's, and don't sit there. I mean, don't ignore them. I mean, if you don't have money, to, you know, that's cool. But if you're just going to ignore them because, oh, you think you're better and everything, then, you know, just go to hell.
But I'm going to tell you, while we got a few minutes left to, before we get Justin calls in here, I remember in Charlotte the one time I was on the corner of Monroe Road and Wendover, and there was a guy, a bum standing in the middle of the road. He had a cardboard sign that said, "Not going to lie, it's a hot day. Want money for a cold beer?" You know, and I reached down and I grabbed like $3 and I gave it to him. I said, "You go, old guy, go get your cold beer." The guy didn't lie. He wasn't trying to save. He was trying to feed his family. He wasn't trying to get cure cancer. He wasn't giving me a sob story. The guy said, "It's a hot day. I want a cold beer." You know, after a hard day, I want
homeless.
A cold. Don't mean
just
that you don't want a cold beer.
You don't get a cold beer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people want a cold beer. So I can imagine if you're out there, you're having a shitty time already. You're sitting around doing a whole whatever, trying to find some place to crash. Might as well have a little catch, a little buzz there, something that ease the pain and make your day a little better. Hey, get your cold beer, old timer. That's all Joey Nuggets say.
Exactly.
We should be sponsored by Budweiser, the king of beers. Budweiser, the king of beers, brings to you Nuggets Country Wrestling Podcast, episode number 16, Justin Fireball. Justin Fireball likes to drink beer. I don't know if it's Budweiser beer, but he is a beer drinker, a connoisseur, if you wear it.
I think he drinks just about anything.
he probably drinks Fireball. You know, that's actually a liquor called Fireball. Fireball. That just sounds like Beavis and the Butthead. Fireball.
Well, he looks like he'd be a character on Beavis and Butthead.
You missed me last week. Last week you didn't hear the show. I actually sang some Whitney Houston, "Children, the Children Are Our Future, Keep Them Well." And left them. You missed that one. I just busted into show tunes in a minute here, so sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Nah, I see you on that one.
It's all great, you know. Like I said, we got coming up, next week's guest will be former NWA Charlotte announcer Tim Dixon. Will be calling in, and you know, he also was the one that originally ran CarolinaIndependentWrestling.com, which at one time used to be a huge website in the Carolinas, and everyone watched it, and it was pretty much told you everything that was going on in pro wrestling and independent scene. So he's going to be coming in. We got a caller coming in on the line. Hopefully, it will be our guest, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. Justin Fireball is on the line.
What's up?
Justin, what's up, Justin? How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, I reckon.
Congratulations. Man, I am so happy that you're here. Dude, I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm going to tell you something. You're a very entertaining dude, you and your homie that put that podcast on. That's some good stuff.
Well, thanks, man. I don't think I'm entertaining, but if other people do, that's cool in my book, I reckon.
Dude, I sat there today while I was driving in the car and about spit my damn soda pop on the windshield when I was hearing you talk about your Chinese softballs that you were eating and how you thought they were pretty good. So.
Oh yeah, Chinese softballs. Eat those. I think most people know those as Chinese donuts, but
showing that Chinese donuts. That's pretty good. Yeah,
I just call them Chinese softballs. That's what I recommend. That's what I call them.
Softballs. But we appreciate you calling the show. We got Big Country on. I'm sure you know Big Country. And he's back in here. And
I've heard of him. I heard he was some kind of a wrestler or something. I don't really know him that well, but I've heard of him.
Hey, I heard he was a fat piece of shit that's overpaid and shouldn't be wrestling. That's what I heard.
Oh, Big Country?
Big Country's getting paid? All right, Big Country got paychecks. All right.
Hey, Jimmy.
So Justin, let's get started, brother. Let's get started with your interview. Try to be serious. I know we could sit and talk as friends forever. Tell us about Justin Fireball. How did you get into pro wrestling?
How did I get into pro wrestling?
Yes, sir.
That's a good story. That's a good story. I guess the best way to do it is I started out like anybody else did, as a kid in the backyard. I mean, you know, as most of us do, and that's where the difference lies. You know, either some of us stay in the backyard or else we move on to the next step. But in reality, I never had no intentions of ever being like a legit, as far as professional wrestling is what people know professional wrestling as. I started doing stuff in the backyard when I was a kid, and my friends and my brother. And then when I got to middle school, I joined the wrestling team, and I thought it was going to be like wrestling on TV. Little did I know, I was in for a big shock. You know, I walk into the wrestling room, and I'm like, where's the ropes? And they're like, oh, this is real wrestling. And I didn't understand what they were talking about, so... But, you know, I stuck around, I did it, and I liked it. Then I wrestled in high school, and then I wrestled in the Army, and that's why I'm doing catch can. And then when all that came to an end, I was like 23 years old, and I had pretty much just fresh got out of the military. And I had quite a habit of the booger sugar. Like I had developed a very good taste for partying. So I got out of the military, started partying, hooked up with some guys, started a few bands, did that for a little while. I didn't have to work because I had a bunch of money from the military. Blew through that pretty fast. Then I started like doing a little training here and there at different places from a guy named Fuzzy Bass. And I went and learned some stuff from Dangerous Doug Hawkins. And then when I was in the Army, I went to a Jimmy Vine seminar. You know, which taught me a lot. And I did training here and there. I couldn't afford to do it a lot because anybody knows if you're going to train to be a professional wrestler, it's not cheap. It costs money. And you never really stop learning. So technically, you're always basically training pretty much. So I did it for a while. Then I got out of it because I got tired of just going to training and not ever getting booked. And then I was at a comedy show. And I met a guy named Zane Riley. Didn't know who he was. I didn't know Zane from Adam. I thought Zane was gay and trying to hit on me. Because he came up to me and he was like, hey, what's up, brother? Like your tattoos, this, and that. And he handed me a flyer. And it was like two wrestlers were on it. I can't remember really where. I was like, whatever this is, I ain't going. Threw it away. I get home. I had a friend request from a guy named Zane Riley on Facebook. And I thought for sure this guy's a faggot. I was like, this guy's gay. He's trying to hit on me, man. And keep in mind, this is back when Zane was like the, Fear of the Beard Zane, when he had that beard like down to his belly button. He had that big-ass long beard, long hair.
I remember that.
I was like, this gay hillbilly is trying to hook up with me. But, you know, I kept him as a friend because I'm kind of, I use the word coachiotic. I don't discriminate too much. And then I saw these posts on Facebook of Zayn doing these matches at different places. I asked Zayn one day to shot him a Facebook message, hey, man, I've been training for a while. I've never had a professional wrestling match. Do you reckon you can point me in the right direction? And he introduced me to a guy named Jason Latino, which is the owner of Milestone Wrestling based out of Hickory. I went there, did my first match, and the rest was pretty much history.
Yeah. Fabulous, fabulous. So how long ago was that?
2012. That was February the 16th, 2012 was my first professional wrestling match.
Okay, okay. And who did you wrestle against? Do you remember?
Zayn Riley.
Zayn, so your first wrestling match was against Zayn. That's pretty awesome.
It was, and dumb as I was, I didn't know the kind of pull that Zayn had. I didn't even know who Zayn really was as far as, you know, him being that established. So I didn't realize I was living there with, like, you know, one of the best and well-known guys in the Southeast as far as independent wrestling goes.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Zayn made me say what?
I said, yeah, of course, keep going.
Oh, yeah, and, of course, Zayn made me like $1 million. Well, maybe $100, but, Zayn made me look good, and of course the promoters were like, well, this guy's good. So they brought me and Zayn in to do another match, and of course it was good. And I was like, oh, okay, so this guy can work. And then they brought me into another third match with some other guys, and then they found out that I couldn't work for shit, that I was serving.
Zayn was making you look great because he had a good psychology and knew how to, he was a veteran.
Yeah, so Zayn was walking through the whole thing like baby steps.
Right.
And then I just, for about 8 months, I just sucked everywhere I went. I was getting booked, but I was at the time I thought I was good, but if you go back and watch those matches now, like, I don't want to give too much behind the curtain, but I didn't know my left and right, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha.
So, like, that's how much I didn't know. And then that went on for a while, and then I met, I forgot how I met Country. Oh, yeah, well. I know how I met him, but I don't want to tell that story.
let me tell that story. I did a show for Rex Rumble and Fuzzy Bass at the Buford Sports Bar in Lancaster, South Carolina, or Buford, South Carolina, whatever it is. And I think it was 2 days later, I was doing deliveries, you know, with my shoot job. And I stopped. I had to go through Lancaster to do a delivery. And I pull into the Dollar General there to get something to drink. And I noticed somebody just staring at me. I mean, it's just like, you know, that creepy feeling, like, you know, not staring like, oh, you know, maybe I recognize this guy. It's like, this guy was about to, like, try to, you know, chloroform me and put me in a van and, you know, wear my skin as a hat. And so I'm checking out at the cash register, and the guy walks up beside me and says, hey, Big Country. And I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, so you gonna wrestle at the sports bar anymore? And I was like, no clue, bro. Have a good day. And I walked out. Well, you know, I'd seen the guy around a few other times after that, and then I realized, you know, everybody had told me about this kid named Justin Fireball. I had no clue who he was. And then I met him, and he introduced himself as Justin Fireball, and I was like, oh, okay. I still think he might try to chloroform me and put me in a van and, you know, eat me, but, you know, we'd be, you know, honing out a lot, you know, started working at XWW together, and, you know, the rest is history, you know. He's actually become one of my very good friends.
Yeah, and there's another guy I like to thank who helped me out a tremendous lot, which he had no reason to ever help me out, but he did, was a guy named Craig Huffman, who was an awesome wrestler. He was really awesome. And me and him had met years prior through the music scene, because he used to play in a band, and I used to play in the band, so we did different shows, but we were always on the same shows together. And then when I finally was a wrestler, he would always, like, but the greatest thing that I probably ever learned from somebody was when Craig Huffman got me the chance to be part of the ring crew for Ring of Honor one time. And then that's where I met Steve Corino. Steve Corino pulled me to the side and told me, like, pretty much everything I ever did wrong. what to do, what to work on, that you don't always have to do all the high spots or bleed or, you know, do all this, this, and that. And that helped me out a lot. And then, like, when I started talking to country, I did a few shows for XWW before that with pretty much jobbing out the Craig. So the promoter of XWW knew who I was. And then country put a word in for me, and they gave me a shot. And then, like country said, after that, was just, I was getting bookings on just pretty much everywhere. Like, I started going, like, Tennessee, down to Georgia, some northern stuff from Florida. I did a lot of Alabama stuff. And then, of course, like, you name any, like, promotion, not any promotion, but a great deal of promotions in North Carolina I worked for, so.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. So, also, tell me more about, I know you worked at different promotions, but I got a chance to work one time at your company, Fireball's Groundhouse Wrestling Show. Tell us about how you got started in that and how that came to be.
That became to be because at that point in time, I was getting kind of like just tired of professional wrestling because I didn't really like, and I still don't like it. Like, I'm against a lot of the politics of backstabbing and going to professional. I still hate being all just be friends and help each other out. But right at that time, there was, I don't even say any names, there was two companies like going neck and neck with each other. And there was really no reason for them to be fighting each other all the time. There was always, like, this beef between them. And I was getting kind of burnt out. I was like, man, I don't even like being a part of this because I got friends that work for this one company. Then I work for this other company. And then if I hang out with these guys, this person will know why I'm hanging out with them, and they will know why I'm doing this. So I was just gracefully just, like, slide out of wrestling and go into other stuff. And then I had this idea of, you know, I never get to see my friends who are in bands. I have a shit ton of friends that are in bands. Like, I never get to see them play. And I have all these, like, female friends of mine that are dancers that I never get to go see dance. So I was like, what if somehow, some way, some crazy way, I put together a show where it's, like, music, wrestling, and just girls shaking their asses. And then when I came up with the idea, it was nothing no different than what Lucha Vavoom had been doing for years out on the West Coast. But yeah. I was like the first person to try it on the East Coast. And I didn't know how to go about doing it. And then luckily, you know, I'm going to pull the curtain back. I came into a couple extra bucks from, I had sold a song to a band that did pretty well. So I made a couple extra bucks off of that. Then my tax refund check came in. So I had some bucks off that. Then I had my shoot job and I had money off that. And I put it all together to do this one show. It was going to be a one-time deal for my birthday. I was like, it was going to be a one-time deal. I went to Tremont, which is no longer there anymore, but it's a music venue in Charlotte that used to be there. I went there with the idea, you know what, I've been coming to this place my whole, like, from the time I was 15 till that point in time at 28. You know, my whole life, pretty much. Why not do a show there? So I did it. I had a little bit of pull from a guy named Jeff Clayton from Anti-Clean. Jeff put in a word for me. John Hayes, who was the owner of Tremont, liked me. So I get the show going for my big birthday show. I do it. The show goes without a hitch. Smooth, perfect, awesome show. And I liked it. And everybody loved it. Everybody's talking good things about it. So I said, I was like, fuck, man, this is easy. I should have been doing this all along. I'm going to do another show. And then the second show was when I realized how much shit can go wrong fast. Because yeah. We did that second show, the ring didn't even get to the building until like 9 o'clock at night. And it was just chaos. I mean, you know, I didn't explain it. It was a great show. And but it was just chaos. So everything that could have went wrong. Talent was late. The ring was late. The bands were fighting each other. There was problems with me and the promoter of another company. It was just a lot of stuff was going on that night. And then after that, I kept doing them until Tremont finally shut down, and then that was the end of
it. A lot of static on the line. You guys hear it? There it goes.
still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I just hear a lot of back static. It's just, I don't know, it gets on the line. But anyhow, so you started running, and that show had the worst of anything. Anything could go wrong went wrong.
Yes, everything that could have went wrong went wrong. It was terrible. And I almost died that night, too. That was the night that that was the night that me and Necro Butcher wrestled each other for the third time. And I don't know what happened, but I guess I got hit with a chair that a piece of glass stuck to it that went inside my head. And I couldn't stop bleeding. Like, it was bleeding tremendously bad. And for some reason, I was too stupid to stop drinking beer. So I bled a lot. Went to an after party to my friend Tommy's house. I'm there, and then drinking beer. I was like, hey, man, can I take a shower? I can't stop gushing blood. Get in the shower, because I got to do a match in the morning for XWW at the tattoo convention, and I think maybe it was Concord. But so I get in the shower, and I squeeze my head, and I see the blood squirt across the tiles of the shower.
Jesus.
And that's when I was like, fuck, I might be in trouble. And then before I could even say it, I guess I passed out and fell down. And they heard a big thump. Everybody comes in. They call 911. They bring me back, too. I wake up. I'm ass naked in the shower like this. With a paramedic standing over me. And the first thing I think of, I was like, sorry my dick's so small, but this water's pretty cold. And she was like, sorry, you got bigger problems to worry about right now.
Water's pretty cold.
Yeah. It was pretty cold, man. It was weird because there was the girl I was fucking that night was there, the two paramedics ladies, and then some other girl, I don't know who she was there, just all staring at me while I'm laying there covered in blood in the shower. It was like some kind of like weird hostile fetish porn horror movie thing going on. It was weird.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm still here.
Yeah, what happened next? Were they able to stop the bleeding? Did you go to the hospital?
Oh, well, they wanted to take me to the hospital. And I know that the ambulance ride is like $5,000 automatically. And I was
right.
Like, fuck that. I was like, fuck that. Can you guys fix me here? I'm going to die here. And, of course, they was able to glue it back shut. And they put that. Because you know, now they try to avoid doing stitches now, so they do like this, that seal stuff, like glue.
Mm-hmm.
And they put that on it, and that was the end of that. Then I lost so much blood, I couldn't have sex that night, obviously. So I just went there and hung out because I couldn't go to sleep. And I pretty much stood up and just drank Mountain Dew and ate chocolate to get my sugar back up. And
right.
Then I went to next morning, the sun came up, went through the show. And that was when I dropped the strap to Terry Houston, I believe it was, yes. And then I went to Asheville and banged this other chick. And that was that weekend. I don't know how I got on banging chicks. That seems to be a theory or a thing in my life. Banging chicks.
Banging chicks. Well, that's a good thing. Definitely no one can say that you're homosexual, but not that that would be a bad thing. But they don't
do
chicks.
I'd like to bang chicks, too.
I don't sound like I bang as many as you do, but maybe we need to hang out more often, Justin. But
I will tell you this. If you ever need any advice so you get your penis stuck in a girl, I can tell you who not to call for advice.
Okay.
Yeah, don't. That's because you try to call somebody up at, like, midnight, numbnuts.
Well, you don't do ass fucking until midnight. That's
a well, the fact of the matter is, most of us don't stay up all hours of the night. And don't expect phone calls at 12 midnight from some one of your friends. You know, at first I thought it was a joke. I was like, no. He's like, dude, you're the only person I call. I can't call my dad. And I was like, well, dude, just, you know, think about baseball and maybe it'll just slip out. And it was one of those things you do not expect at 12 o'clock at night, you know?
Yeah,
yes.
I'm up usually that late, but you call me next time, Justin. I'll talk you down, brother.
Well, see, I didn't believe him until all of a sudden I heard her start, you know, like whining and stuff, and he told her to shut up. And I was like, Really, bro?
But see, she would whine. She would whine, and her asshole would get tighter. So if it gets tighter, it made me more harder. So it was like we were stuck in this like weird pen, like paradox where we couldn't escape, but we wanted to.
And the first person he wanted to call was me.
They thought about you.
I thought if I thought about big countries, maybe I'll lose a boner. You know.
Well, apparently that didn't work.
Yeah.
It didn't work. You still caught you, but you eventually got talked down because you're here with us now. So,
yeah.
What do you think is next for Justin Fireball? I mean, are you going to go back and continue to get a chance to do the Grindhouse again, or is that something you see in your future, or what?
Oh, for me is going to be a cheeseburger. I'm getting one of those in a little bit.
Okay.
He's probably going to die next month.
Yeah, I'm probably going to die next month. Yeah. But as far as the Grindhouse goes, I'm talking with one club right now, but it's a very kind of sketchy, weird deal. It's just the club's down for it, and the people that run the club are good and very cool people. It's just that the club's very small and there's a lot of issues, and just it's gonna be hard for me to find a place that can accommodate me the way that Tremont did, because Tremont was just the perfect source.
Yeah, Tremont was a great venue. I did a couple of wrestling events there, and I went to a whole bunch of rock shows over the years there. That was a great venue. And there ain't a lot of great venues left. They're just freaking going shut up little by little all throughout the Carolinas, man.
Yes. The only good place that I would even, like, recommend as far as if you're into, like, you know, punk or rock music that's still left is pretty much you know, the world-famous Milestone, which is also one of the oldest clubs in America now. And even they are, like, under trouble because they need renovations done bad because the building that they play out of is over 112 years old.
Huh.
So, the building's in bad shape. But and it's kind of sad because that building has so much history because, like, I don't know what you know about punk music or if any of the people listening even know anything about punk music, but there's been so many great bands that's played there in the past that are well-known, like Nirvana and the Bad Brains and, like, Black Flag. There's been all these, like, big bands that's played there at this venue, and it was going to be a real shame to see them go down. And that was one of the reasons I'm trying to do a Grindhouse there, which would be totally different, but still it's the idea. And hopefully we can get all the dates and everything lined up. They actually offered me a date to do it, like, this coming up weekend. And I was like, I just can't throw it together that fast because I got to find workers, and most workers need to know at least a good month in advance.
Any decent ones are.
And my idea was I was going to pay for everything out of pocket on my behalf, and all the money that we take in, just give it to the Milestone Club because –
Right.
They need it. And I would hate to see, like, the Milestone Club go because it's one of my favorite places to hang out now in Charlotte.
There are a bunch of places just shutting up. So, yeah, Milestone's been around forever.
Yes, been around, like, 48 years now, I believe it is.
Wow.
But,
wow.
As far as what's next for me, let's see, what's going on? I got a stand-up comedy show that I'm doing at the station on May the 9th. I'm wrestling for Milestone Wrestling April 22nd in Gastonia at a place called Broncos. I'm wrestling for Milestone for the Deathmatch Tournament, which me and Big Country are teaming together. And that's going to be, I can't remember where, but I know it's May 28th. This is Charlotte. I'm doing a show in New Jersey on June the 11th. There's another company I've been talking with. I can't remember their name because now I feel like a jackass. But I don't know, what is it, Old School Pro Wrestling or something like that? But
down
a guy named
Charleston?
Taylor. No, it's in The show I did when they ran into Annapolis, but apparently they do like all over North Carolina.
Okay.
But White Mike's the champ there. I think the promoter's name is Steve Taylor. But I can't. Old School Wrestling Association might be the name of it. I can't remember. It's hard to remember.
Did they run?
You talking
about
the one
shows
the one
at the Moose Lodge? Did they run the Moose Lodge?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a chance to work that. I got a chance to manage Damian Wayne, and that's the world famous spot where me and Damian Wayne gave a woman a heart attack in the front row. She was giving us the middle finger and said, "This is all your fault, you son of a bitch." And she was shaking her fist with the other hand while she grabbed her chest with the other. So you
killed a fan.
Well, she didn't die. She had a heart attack, but it was they took her out in the ambulance. The police, firemen, and the EMT showed up. She definitely had a heart attack, but she didn't die. So.
Well, that's what we call where I come from. I guess what you call Memphis heat. I don't know.
It was some old school heat. We got some big old school heat. Yeah, we were beating up on their local hometown champion the whole nine. And I cut a really at the beginning of the show. I cut a real personal promo told him, I said, every time Damian Wayne punches this guy, I said, he's your home champion. I said, he's going to be punching this woman, this little kid with a green hat, this ugly woman with an orange T-shirt, this woman with a bad wig. And I got over the woman with the fat. I said, this woman that just got done eating fried chicken. She grabbed her chest and started talking shit. Had a heart attack.
Well, that's something I've never done. Now, I did once give a fat woman a lap dance at a show, and she gave me $5.
$5? That's pretty good, bro. They get you a beer.
And it wasn't a grindhouse show either. It was like a normal show. And I was pretty sure the mother got pissed about it, but it was in the past. What can I do?
He's hating because he didn't get $5 from a lap dance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. A lap dance can sound like fucking. Once you fuck somebody, you just can't unfuck them. So I couldn't undo it. I was like, I'm sorry, it happened, man. I can't undo it, you know. Sometimes I get carried away. I'll just put it that way.
Hey, that's all right. Sometimes it's looked upon as art. Other times it's looking apart as they don't understand your art. So that's how I think of it. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, man. You go ahead.
I was gonna ask you if you could see yourself wrestling anybody in a dream match. What would be your dream match?
Oh, a dream match. Okay, I got a question for that one. Would this be of all time wrestlers, or like wrestlers?
Could be all time, past, to be past, present. They're not around anymore. Andre the Giant. I don't care anybody.
All right, I'm gonna do two of them. I'm gonna do a past one, and I'm gonna do like a modern day.
Sure, go for
The past one would be, I think it would be cool to be a jobber and get to wrestle Arn Anderson, say like 1988, like, you know, Saturday Night Wrestling in NWA Mid-Atlantic, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think it'd be cool just to be a jobber to get beat up by Arn Anderson. As far as modern time day goes, that's a good question, man. I don't want to sound big-headed because I like to think these things could happen one day. Like, you know, the guys that are stars now will eventually work their way down. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure if you would ask Big Country 10 years ago, do you think he ever would wrestle Matt Hardy, he would probably say, hell no. But, of course, we all know Big Country did. Yeah. Shit, man. I would like to wrestle Tommy Dreamer. That seems like something very realistically I could probably pull off. I like to wrestle Tommy Dreamer. I think that'd be a cool match. Of course, the obvious, which I am nowhere near in his ballpark, but Nakamura would be a dream match to do.
Okay.
Of course, you know, I'm nowhere near his skill level whatsoever. He'd probably just laugh at me.
Right.
Let's see. Who else? Let me think. I don't know. I didn't really put that much thought into it as far as modern time because not to sound big-headed or like a jerk, but I just have to see the guys that are stars now as being guys that, okay, one day I could probably end up wrestling these guys down the road whenever their fame dies down. You know,
right.
I was kind of like, you know, peers or whatever. Now, the older school guys, of course, I found a lot, you know, fantasized about a lot more when I was younger because as a kid, as a person being my age, you know, in your late 20s, early 30s, like, who did not think about getting stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin or wrestling Mick Foley or, you know, getting put in the sharpshooter by Bret Hart, you know, stuff, or getting, you know, whacked over the head with a cane by the Sandman, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got your answer. I know I want to wrestle, man. I got it. I would like to wrestle Jay or Mark Briscoe. That's my answer.
Nice. So tell me, how did the Justin Fireball character person, or somebody else's?
The Fireball thing came about because, that's a good question. It's actually a family nickname that's passed down every other generation as far as the name goes. But, yeah, like the one before me was my grandma. Her name was Fireball as well.
Okay. So grandma Fireball.
Yes. It stuck with me because when I was younger, I was very, very wild and into partying and doing crazy shit. Like, I was like one of those jackass kids before jackass was cool, before it was popular. Like, me and my buddies, we used to, like, just ride down the road, which now, looking back, was the dumbest shit I've ever done in my life. We would get on top of my buddy's old Honda Civic and hang on for dear life, and he would drive in first gear. The rule was never go above first gear. He would drive, and someone breaks and slide from left to right on the dirt road and try to swing us off. That's what we did for fun.
Nice.
And, yeah, we were very dumb. It was very stupid. It's a miracle I'm alive. But that's pretty much how it came about. And just and then when I started doing Catch Cat in the Army, they slapped that name on me as a middle name. It was Justin Fireball Whitaker, which is my real name. And then as I gave it pro wrestling, I dropped it down to Justin Fireball.
Okay. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Big Country, you here with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Got any questions to ask Fireball?
Well, basically, I know everything there is to know about Fireball. We've been in the ring.
What color underwear has he got on tonight? What color underwear is he wearing tonight, if you know it all, buddy?
That's a creepy question. I really don't even want to know the answer.
Basically, I don't know everything about Justin Fireball. He's got on. He doesn't got any underwear on because he's Justin Fireball. He's flame retardant like that.
No, he wears underwear.
I wear underwear because I didn't used to wear underwear, and y'all can guess what happened to me, which is why I now wear underwear. I went to zip my dick up in my pants.
Ouch.
So,
if you could go back to any era of wrestling and wrestle, where would you wrestle for and why?
And this would be like the 70s. I think the 70s would be an awesome time to be a professional wrestler. And it would either be Mid-Atlantic, Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina area, or Florida Championship Wrestling. Why? Because, we all know, we didn't know it at the time. Looking back to the history books, Mid-Atlantic, NWA was probably the best there ever was as far as wrestling goes in the history of wrestling. Of course, at the time, nobody knew that, but now that we're looking back at it, hindsight, we all know that was a great time in wrestling. That was where you wanted to be. And then, of course, Florida Championship Wrestling, because it's fucking Florida. You got the Dusty Rhodes, that was Dusty Rhodes' little area. You got cocaine everywhere, tits and ass, nice weather all the time. And who would not want to wrestle in Florida in the 70s, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah. That sounds good.
Unless you don't do drugs. If you don't do drugs, that's cool, kids. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, I understand that. I hear this all the time. I know it's everyone wants to live a drug-free society and don't party, but the reason I got into pro wrestling is because I used to hear Ric Flair
promos about staying up all night, partying like a rock star to the break of dawn, and hanging out with hot women. I was like, hell, I want to do that.
Yeah, that's what I thought everybody wanted to do.
I wanted to be that guy.
Unless you're a gay dude, who doesn't want to fuck four chicks in one night?
I'm saying.
I mean, and if you're a gay guy, you just want to bang four dudes in one night. So it's the same tip
for
that. And if you're a lesbian, you want to bang four of them chicks. And so it's like, you know, and if you're really wild, you want to bang two dudes and two chicks in the same night. That's for the real
hard
work
big country,
is there.
And if you're a big country, you want to eat four sandwiches in one night. I'm just playing.
Hey, that's my idea of a party.
Hey, foot long.
Hey, I'm at the age now where sometimes I come home on Friday nights, and all day long I just been thinking about that big, large pizza with all the toppings on it. Mm. And I sit down, eat that nice, warm pizza with every fucking thing on it, including chicken, and I'll sit down and I'll watch four or five episodes of, like, Sanford and Son or Andy Griffin or whatever on, you know, my Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. I know you've seen my food porn. I am a certified cheesesteak connoisseur junkie. So if I get a chance to find a cheesesteak hoagie somewhere, I'm all on it. That's one of my vices is cheesesteak hoagies. So
hey, cheesesteak.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good cheesesteak around here. There's a place down the highway in South Carolina, Spartanburg, called The Real Deal. The man who owns it is originally from Philadelphia. He has all the ingredients brought down on an Amtrak once a week from Philadelphia. And, I mean, you got to travel and get them. When I go there, I get four or five of them and freeze them. They last for a week or two. But, yeah, that's the closest place I found to get a real good cheesesteak. I mean, Jersey Mike's is all right, but it just ain't a great cheesesteak.
There's a place in Charlotte that actually has pretty decent cheesesteak. That's not far from where I work. It's kind of in the
What's
hood.
It called?
Actually, there's
What's
two
it
of
called?
Them. Shit. The one I'm talking about is called American Deli, and it's right near the Walmart that's in the hood off of Ashley Boulevard or whatever it is.
Huh.
And then there's another one. I can't remember what it's called, but me and Country ate there one time. I forgot about it just now.
It's called A Mouthful.
Yes, A Mouthful.
Damn, we're going to have to make a trip to Charlotte.
I can't remember where it's at, though. But me and Country ate there, and it's really good.
It's off Freedom Drive. It's connected onto a Shell gas station.
All right. We'll have to find that place and check out some cheesesteaks. Sometimes them little hole in the walls got some of the best food.
Yes, I forgot about this place. Now I remember me and Country were doing, was it a photo shoot we were doing that night?
Yeah, XWW was doing a photo shoot.
Yeah, and then we stopped this. I think we had to get gas or something. And we saw this place selling sandwiches or some shit. And of course, Country went in there. And then when Country opened the door, it smelled good. I was like, well, fuck it, I'm going in there too. They had the
cheesesteak,
the Philly chicken. Like they had, you know, it was pretty good. I'm going to have to go back there again now. Thanks a lot, Country.
Yeah, we're
actually, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I believe they shut it down.
You
bastard.
You son of a bitch.
I didn't shut it down, so kiss my ass.
You hit them out of business, didn't you?
No, actually, the last time me and Justin went there, which was a couple years ago, you know, that was the last time I had been there because I never go on that side of town for any other reason besides that.
I had a buddy one time, we went and got Chinese food. We decided to get it to go. And so I went and got, they give you those styrofoam containers and we filled them up. And I couldn't close it all the way, so I took my keys and put it over top and kept the thing closed. And she pulls it out and it comes open. She said, oh, you get too much food. You pay more. I was like, look, I was with a buddy of mine. He was a big guy, too. I said, look, if we sit down and eat, I'm going to eat a lot more than this. She says, next time you pay more.
Well,
yeah, next time I pay more.
The place that closed down where me and Country went, on that side of town, man, in all fairness, me and Country are probably the only people who went on that side of town to buy food. That should be the kind of
right.
place you go to buy drugs at and get your cheap whores. But, but I can understand what closed down. The place probably had like a 35 rating as far as like on the restaurant system.
But a guy like me,
I don't care how this will sound really bad, but
with a name like Justin Fireball, you live life on the wild side, man.
Well, my thing is, I don't care how dirty your restaurant is, because chances are, I've banged a chick that was a lot dirtier than what your restaurant is.
How about you, Country? Have you banged some dirty chicks like restaurants?
I don't think there's very many people that have gone as dirty as Justin Fireball. I mean, I've dated some idiots, but I don't know about that dirty. I mean, I'm surprised Fireball even has a dick with some of the chicks that he's stuck inside of. So, he's walking on borrowed time right now because Carmen's going to catch up with him sooner or later. And sooner or later, he's going to wake up one morning and, have something Ajax and gonna wipe off.
Well, that's why I always wear condoms. I wish that Trojan would go ahead and sponsor me because I've used a lot of money on condoms over the years. But it's good money. I'm not complaining. It beats the outcome. I mean, it beats what else I can get. You know what I mean? But
you be making out with chicks, and they don't make condoms for the mouth. So,
Well,
I'd be careful on that end.
I always do a close look. I always look for those, quotations. What do they call them?
Herpes?
We call it herpes, but people always have it called something else. Oh, it's a cold sore. I'm like, nah, fuck you, no, it's not.
That ain't a cold sore, that's herpes. I know the difference. Cold sore. You ain't got no cold, do you? Ain't a cold sore. That's a herpes on
you. I ain't gonna say his name. There's a guy that made countries to work with. And every so often, he would get quotations, cold sores on his face. And I never did believe him for one second. I was like, no, dude, you have fucking herpes, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
You talking about Speedy?
No, not Speedy.
Now, Speedy used to get a lot of cold sores.
No, that's meth. Speedy was on meth.
Oh, okay.
That's different. I can't remember the guy's name now, man. The real
you talking about Jonathan?
No, the real good-looking Hispanic guy. What was his name?
Renato.
Renato,
yeah. No, it's cool sore. It's cool sore. It's like, nah, dude, you dirty.
Yeah, got some stuff on your lips there, pal.
that shit on your lip got some shit on its lip.
I don't doubt. So let me ask you something. You got any road stories or any backstage ribs or any stories you could share with us? Because people always love to hear that type of stuff there.
Nothing that's really entertaining. I mean, no, not really. I mean, now, as far as Grindhouse goes, those are some stories for that, but I can't tell those stories because, there's some wild shit that went down. I just give the basic, there's some cocaine usage. There's a little bit of sex from time to time. And there's always bickering and fighting in the backstage. And like most of the good stories I have to tell, they involve other people. Like beef between other people or whatever the hell's going on. And I don't like telling those stories because I don't know all the facts. So I don't like getting shit mixed up. But there was one story. I can't remember how it even went down, man. I don't even know if Country was there or not. I don't think Country was there.
Big Country, you remember the time we were? You remember the big time? The time we was down at Kate's Gate, and that and old buddy with the tag team talked shit to what was his name? Garrett Sinclair.
Oh, you talking
it?
About that?
And he put
no,
put his arm in an arm bar and fucked his shit up.
Yeah, it was one of the dudes from the Young Guns. I can't remember if it was Darren or that William, the other one. He talked shit to Pat Casper and didn't realize Pat Casper was trained in, and submission and, shit like that, and went to push him, and he dropped down, grabbed his arm, and owned that bitch.
We were standing like, yeah, you should break that up, but part of us was like, yeah, pop that motherfucker out of the damn shoulder blade. Talking shit, motherfucker needs to learn a lesson.
Shit, the only time I jumped in was when the kid's dad was like, oh, yeah, he started it. It's like, no, your kid started it and got punked out. Fuck off.
Yeah, damn Skippy, your son fucking ran his mouth, talk shit, get hit. That's how it works.
Exactly.
Talk shit, get hit. I need that on a t-shirt. I bet you can make that better than that freaking say shit.
I remember when Fireball almost got a shot because it was right after the George Zimmerman stuff with the kid, shooting the kid with the hoodie or whatever. Yeah, well, we were doing a show down there at Kate's Gate, and a bunch of little black kids ran up, started talking shit to Fireball, and what does Fireball do? He says, you guys need to back up or I'm going to George Zimmerman your ass. needless to say, I let Justin Fireball walk out in the parking lot way before I ever set foot out there because I was not catching a stray one for his ass.
Hey, that was a good show because that was that night that I wrestled Stroh for the first time. And Stroh's a great guy. He's a good dude. And I remember he came up to the ring. And I guess he heard what happened. He was like, but right before we started wrestling, I was like, brother, you crazy, man. They're going to kill you out here. But it was, when I said it, I was trying to go for the shock value, but I didn't think it was going to go over quite that well. It was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Luckily, we was in Indian Trail and not like on Freedom Drive, so I was kind of halfway safe.
Right. Yeah, you are right. Goodbye with it.
But there is a story to tell you, and I'll tell you this story because this guy's in prison now for attempted murder or some shit.
He can't complain about it. Fuck him.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't going to say the company's name. I'm just going to say it's a company. But me and Zane Robbie were there, and this wasn't an ongo, so. And not to sound big-headed or cocky, but I know what I'm doing halfway now, right? Well, this guy was there, and he's, like, legitimately shooting on me in the parking lot, cutting a promo, but, like, a shoot promo on me to nobody. Like, he's talking to a camera, but it's not a camera there. And he's like, yeah, I'll kick Fireball's ass. He ain't fucking hardcore. I'm the real hardcore champ, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then he gets in the ring, like, before the show starts practicing, and me and Zane are in the ring, and this guy's foaming out of the mouth. And he's trying to tell me and Zane that we're running the ropes all wrong. And of course, we go backstage. He has a tattoo on his stomach. And I never forget it. Zane Riley was like, so what's that tattoo stuff on your stomach, buddy? And the guy just headbutts the table as hard as he could. And he goes, that's what the fuck it says. And then he walks off.
He headbutted what?
The table.
What did he head? He headbutted a table and said, that's what it says.
That's what it says. Yeah, that's what his tattoo says. That's head by the table. And, of course, me and Zane were like, we need to talk to the promoter and make sure nobody's wrestling this guy tonight because he is clearly on some fucking drugs. He was foaming out of the mouth. Like, yeah, white foam
right.
Coming out of his mouth. And then that was the end of that story, dude.
He was on crack
or meth or something. I don't know what he was on, dude. He was on some hard shit. I mean, it was some hard shit.
Crazy. Crazy. So, if you could change anything in pro wrestling, what would you change and why?
I don't think I would change anything. I know that a lot of the fans and when I say marks, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it in a good way. Like, I know that a lot of the marks and fans, like, they want to bitch and hate on everything, but I mean, they, what else can you do? I think they're doing a good job. I think, like, I know, like, the thing that's under attack now is WWE. And I think they do a tremendous job. I mean, I don't always agree with, you know, as far as me as being a watcher, you know, why are they pushing this guy, why not this guy, da 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 da. But I think overall they offer you a very good product. Of course, it's at a very spread thin for everybody to watch. You know what I mean? It's not all hardcore stuff, and it's not all spot monkeys, and it's not all this, this, and that. It's a very spread thin. This is your very basic package of wrestling to enjoy. But they offer you something as well that is the exact opposite of what any fan would want with NXT. So, I mean, there's really nothing to complain about as far as, you know, what's going on in the wrestling world. The only thing that I dislike about it is I just feel like now, which I understand why they do now, because this is the day of the internet, everybody wants shit now. I just feel like they push storylines way too fast and then just drop them for no reason. Like, you know, the greatest way I can explain it was back when I was a kid in the mid-90s, the whole Sting and Hogan angle went on for almost a year and a half before we ever got the big Sting and Hogan match. And then when we got it, it meant something. Now they'll just push the match for 3 weeks, have the pay-per-view, and then that's the end of it. There's no outcome. There's no, you know, whatever, whatever. And that's just what it is.
In reality, the fact of the matter is WWE has no competitor. So it's like, you know, it used to be like, all right, if we do this, is this going to be good for ratings? You know, it's going to give the chance for our, you know, competition to catch up. Now it's like TNA isn't a competition. TNA is fighting to stay above water and actually stay relevant.
Right.
Now, so WWE, you know, it's just like, hey, if they want to do it, they do it. Now, you know, NXT is awesome. Now they're bringing all those guys from NXT over and bringing all the guys, like, a lot of guys from New Japan and stuff. I mean, heck, last night, Gallows and Anderson, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, you know, debuted. It's like now they're realizing that, you know, you're going to have to change up the faces because people are getting sick of it. There's a reason why people boo John Cena and boo, you know, Roman Reigns and stuff. It's because WWE purposely shoves them down your throat because they feel that, you know, if they tell you to like them, that you'll like them, but they don't understand that, you know, this is a different type of crowd than it used to be. And if you try to make them like somebody, it's going to make them hate them. And if you try to, a lot of more like the Daniel Bryans and the Dean Ambroses, you know, all guys like that, the reason why people like them is because they're not the norm. They're not the guys that everybody wants to push and wants to make you try to love them. So they just get behind them, and, you know, it's because they can relate to them in everyday life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's I think along the way, it used to be back in the olden days, of course, you had your couple of big giant guys that were just big muscle, you know, the idea of what everybody thinks of a pro wrestler. But for the most part, You know, Ric Flair wasn't a gigantic man. Ric Flair was not a big dude by any means. You know, Sting was not a really big dude. You know, Arn Anderson wasn't that big. Larry Zbyszko, I think, is shorter than I am, and I'm a pretty short guy. And Roddy Piper was pretty short. But then somewhere along the way, they got this idea that everybody wants bodybuilders. And that was cool for a season. But then when guys like, you know, like Clutcher said, Daniel Bryan and your Dean Ambroses and your Sami Zayn. You got a guy who can wrestle and doesn't have that look. People like that because whenever the average, you know, couch potato wrestling fan sees a guy like Sami Zayn on TV, says, hell, I can relate to that guy. You know, there ain't many guys walking around the street that can relate to a Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, Hogan was great and was over the top and was good for what he did, but I've known, and all the people I ever met in my life, I've probably met close to a million people in my life. I've met two guys in my whole existence that resemble a guy of Hulk Hogan's size. But I've met plenty of guys every day that look like Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? I see those guys every day.
Right.
And that's something that a fan can relate to because, you know what? when a guy's 5'8", when he's 180 pounds, especially a teenager, that can be me. I can do that. But when we see a guy that's 6'7", 300 pounds, that got them, his biceps are bigger than your girlfriend's waist, it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, it's like, how, you know, and then, of course, he does three moves, which I'm not knocking these guys. It's just, it's a very different time now than what it used to be. You know, like as a kid, I was a big Ultimate Warrior fan. But in today's society, if you try to push a guy like Ultimate Warrior, people would laugh him out of the building. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, back in the day, you know, Vince used to book for the larger than life, you know, the suspend belief, you know, all that stuff like that. You know, it was the whole million dollar body, 10-cent talent. He felt that, you know, he could get these guys to look like, you know, brick shit houses and, you know, Adonises and stuff, and he could teach them how to wrestle. Now it's like people, you know, you have a different type of clientele that you feed to. So, you know, you got a lot from adults, you know, middle aged, you know, to kids. So you got to have a cornucopia. You got to have, you know, stuff that people can relate to. You still have your larger than life guys, you know, like you had your Batistas and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of people want to see somebody, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, if it looks like somebody that would just be sitting in the crowd, then, you know, they shouldn't be a wrestler. Why? You know, if you have a Joe Schmo that somebody can relate to, then people are going to get behind him because they're like, hey, if he could do it, you know, maybe one of us can do it. But, you know.
Sure, exactly. I mean, I remember when back in the 80s when they broke Hillbilly Jim from the crowd. He was a hillbilly sitting in the front row in a couple matches week after week. One week, Hulk Hogan was getting a beat down. And here comes this big country hillbilly son bitch over the rail into the ring and to choose the guy off and do a big boot. And the next thing you know, they bring over Hillbilly Jim in and they say to him, well, who do you want to work with? And they throw him opposite of Roddy Piper on the pit. And he's like, well, and Roddy's like, I could be your manager. I could take your place. He goes, I got somebody. I don't think you're the guy for the job. I got someone in mind that I think that could do the job. He goes, well, who could do a better job than me? He said, he's going to come out here right now. And around the corner comes the incredible Hulk Hogan. And crowd comes unglued, big pop. And they did the whole freaking, and then they did a bunch of video vignettes, if you remember, Hillbilly Jim. They built the character up big. Hillbilly Jim out training, and he's hugging tires, and he's wrestling whatever, and he's training, and, you know, he's doing his thing. But they built the character up. They used to do that. They don't do that no more. I mean, the build up for WrestleMania between The Undertaker and Shane O'Mac was, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks tops? He showed up out of nowhere. And the same night they announced it, and he says that he's taking over, blah, blah, blah. And the same night, Vince McMahon says, this is who you're wrestling.
Well, also, I take it into, I think Hunter, I mean, I don't know the full story. And I know a lot of it's kayfabe, and a lot of it's true. I don't know where the line ends and begins. But from what I think, anyway, this is what I personally think. With the pull that Triple H has, he is smart because he realizes that times have changed and that all we're pretty much like, if you watch wrestling product now, as far as like what the guys can do talent wise, it's very much like watching Japan wrestling back in the 90s. You know, it's a lot of high flying little moves, a lot of technical like submission wrestling moves. It's a lot more stiffer versus, and not that I'm disrespecting these guys, but you know, a guy like Boogie Woogie Man who would skip around the ring before he punches you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with the day's fan base and knowing what's going on, you would say to yourself, why in the hell would a man skip around the circles before he punches you? You know what I mean?
Right.
Versus when you got a guy like, you know, Nakamura or Sami Zayn, and I keep referring to them because they just put on, you know, one of the best matches I've ever seen. You know, when they're just doing these, like, boom, 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 boom moves. They kick, punch, spin. You know, and another guy I'm glad to see he's finally got his big break, man, was AJ Styles. I've been watching AJ Styles wrestle for almost 15 years now. And I had pretty much wrote him off because I thought, you know, he's in his late 30s. He's never going to make it to WWE. So when he came there, it showed you that not only did the WWE fans know who the fuck he was, but that he was over and he should have been there like 6-7 years ago. You know what I mean? Because when he came in, the place went crazy. And they're still cheering for him. And he should have been there a long time ago. Now they just get Christopher Daniels.
It's like a lot of these people are like, oh, these guys should already be in WWE. You read anything about AJ Styles, when he was doing his thing with TNA, they offered him, you know, but he automatically wanted to be like superstar level. He didn't want to have to, you know, which, I mean, the way he got brought in now was kind of like, you know, a lot of these guys like, you know, Bobby Roode and, you know, Austin Aries and stuff are just as talented as AJ Styles. It's just now they're having to go through NXT and build themselves up. AJ, thank his lucky stars, got thrown in the line. Like, I'd start out at the Royal Rumble. Now he's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title, and he's been there less than, you know what, 4 months. So it's like people think that, you know, these guys should be there, but a lot of them don't realize the behind-the-scenes stuff, like their attitudes. Like Dolph Ziggler, you know, he could be the next Shawn Michaels, you know, but his mouth, he likes to run his mouth to the dirt sheets about stuff that he shouldn't be running his mouth about. And he gets himself in trouble, and he gets demoted, and gets pushed down. You know, people are like, oh, they're just trying to hold him down. No. You know, if you knew some of the stuff, you know, behind the scenes, you realize some of these guys are a lot more divas than the divas. And, you know, that's the reason why they don't get their comeuppance and, you know, the shots that they should get, because, you know, they don't know when to run their mouth and when not to.
See, and also, speaking on that aspect, I mean, granted, I don't know because I've never been on that level. But I'm going to use two guys, for example, R-Truth and Kane. They've been there for a long-ass time now. Probably two of the longest guys that's been with the company. And we've all agreed they've done some very stupid, weird gimmicks, but they're always there. Even, for example, like R-Truth, for example, he gets paid to not even wrestle. You know what I mean? He gets paid just to come out there. Because he makes probably the same amount of money as Dolph Ziggler makes. You know what I mean? And he gets paid to walk out there and climb a ladder in the middle of the Royal Rumble. I mean, and I'm sure in his mind, I mean, I would think that this is stupid. But it's a way to get your foot into the door, and it's a payday at the end of the day. Like, there was a guy earlier today, I ain't going to say his names, asked me to call him, offered me a spot on the show. It wasn't a wrestling spot, but it was a spot on the show. I took it because, one, it's getting my foot in the door, and two, as long as you're part of the show, what does it matter? You know what I mean? I think a lot of the guys think, no, I'm going to go there, I'm going to be the star, and that's it. I think they have a lot of the, I always call this the Scott Hall complex, but, you know, Scott Hall went to WCW, and he set the bar for that he's a star, he's going to get what he wants, which Scott Hall was a star. He deserved what he got. You know, those guys was like, if you want me, then this is what you're going to have to do. You know what I mean? And I dealt with guys like that when I ran Fireball's Grindhouse. There was guys who would come in and try to be like, I'm doing this or I ain't doing this. I'm like, well, that's not how it works here, man. You're going to do what, you know, you're going to do what's written, man. You ain't going to do what you want to do. That's just, if you want to do what you want to do, start your own company. That's the best way to,
that's
you know
it.
What I mean?
That's exactly it. Yeah, if you want to do what you want to do, start your own company. If not, unless the guy is doing what's asking you to do, something that's totally just, something that's going to pull you out of character of being a human being. But I mean, just the average thing. If someone asks you to do it, it's entertainment. Do what the man tells you to do or go home.
Like, I'm going to give one guy a shout-out. Dean Richards. I know a lot of people hate Dean Richards. But when Dean Richards was working for me for Fireball's Grindhouse, I asked him to do something that he was 100% against. Like, he did not want to do it. But he did it. I mean, he did it. He was like, I don't really want to do this, man, but that's what you want to do, we'll do it. Because he drove all the way from Greenville, and Mosey was the same way. Mosey came away from Florida, and I had them two in the match. I said, look, I want you guys to wrestle for no more than 30 seconds. I want this match to be over with in 30 seconds. And they were both against it, but they did it, you know. And in hindsight, looking back, it was great because it made Mosey look like a monster. And I don't know why this happened, but it made all the girls like Dean Richards. I don't know how the hell that happened, but all the girls started liking him.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, you know, after that happened, I gave Dean a little push that I could because Dean deserved it because Dean did the other job. And, talking about crazy wrestling stories, can I tell this story? There was a match, Fireball Grindhouse. It was Dean Richards, Mosey, and Zane Riley, a three-way dance for what was our version of the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Mosey got butt-fucking-naked in the ring and wrestled for about 10 minutes. I'm talking about dick flopping, ass crack showing, like butt naked in the ring. And that to this day, this still that might be the coolest thing I ever seen in wrestling.
Butt naked in wrestling, that was the coolest. What was cool about it?
I've never seen a black man naked wrestling before in the ring. Have you?
No, there's might be a reason for that.
I liked it. I was like, how can you beat that? Like, how can you get any more shock value than that?
Yeah, you can't get more shock value than that, definitely. I mean, I guess no one probably wanted to pin him either.
Well, I think Zane gave him a spine buster. And if you know how a spine buster works, you know where your face
goes.
Go
Zane
Riley.
Go Zane. Go Zane. Wow. That's a story and a half. I can't outbeat that one. Big Country, got anything? Go ahead.
I think Fireball is the only person I've wrestled that I've ever gave a concussion to.
Oh, horse. Can't prove it.
Can't prove it. You're the one that bitched about it and still bitches about it.
Let the record show. I made Country tap out one night.
You didn't make nobody tap out. There's video showing that shit.
Hey, all I know is I won.
Yeah,
you won that shit. You tapped out.
The ref said you tapped, and the ref's decision is final.
Yeah, the ref was your boyfriend, Belton Creedmoor. But now, Fireball comes running at me in the corner. I throw a super kick and catch him right in the face, and then he's complaining about throwing up and can't sleep and headaches and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know, suck it up.
Hey, that's true. I ain't gonna deny. When he kicked me, I didn't think that much about it. I mean, it hurt, obviously, but no big deal. I went out to the bar afterwards with my girlfriend at the time, had a few drinks, had a couple cheeseburgers, went home, had sex, got up the next morning, go to work, and then it was either late May or early June when it happened. But when that heat and that sun hit me, dude, I got sick as a dog. I couldn't stand up. I got dizzy. I started puking all over myself. I will say this, concussions are no fucking joke, man. And it's weird because you can get one and not know it till like the next day, which is really weird. I've had three in my life. And it's weird. Because like, you get it and you feel fine when it happens, but the next day is like the worst hangover you ever experienced in your life.
There you go.
Well, I got a question for you, Mr. Nugs.
Anything.
Okay. You said you listened to my podcast.
Uh huh.
What did you like about it, or what did you not? What's your opinion on what I do as far as podcast wise?
A couple of things I like about your podcast. One, I could tell that it's different than I could tell it's not a call-in podcast. Just because your audio level is a lot better. I mean, so the your noise, your sound quality is a lot better, obviously, than mine is. And I like that, definitely. I like that you had your co-host, you had someone that you could play off of, and you guys had a nice comic. It felt more like I was listening to a morning show on a radio station. I was listening in the car when I was driving.
and it had more of that. And you definitely aren't afraid. I could tell that it ain't scripted. You're just going off a lot of the whim because you guys were just making it up as it go along. But you had a great chemistry. That's something I like about it. You guys had a good chemistry. I don't know how long you've known your broadcast partner, but I could tell that you enjoy when you do the show together.
Yeah, I've known that guy pretty much my whole life. He's a couple of years older than me, and the way me and him met, his name's Richie Roney, and the way me and him met was I was in fifth grade, he was in ninth grade at the time, and we rode the same bus, and he used to pick on me, like, yeah, because I was in fifth grade, he was in ninth grade, he was going to pick on me. What else did you do back then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was before cell phones, so you couldn't play on your cell phones, so you picked on people smaller than you. And, of course, me being in fifth grade, I was just happy that a high school kid knew who I was, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, over time, we developed a friendship, and then as the years went by, we just became better and better friends. And our podcast idea started out as we were like, what if, like, once a week we just record 40 minutes of us hanging out talking? Because we hang out and talk all the time anyway. I was like, what if we just sit around and talk about what we've done within the past week and just talk about it? And then almost everybody who's listened to it has said what you said, and it sounds very much like a radio show, and they're surprised how good it sounds, which to me is a tremendous praise of whatever the word is. You know, it's a great – it's a tremendous compliment, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, with all the schedules of majority of all the friends that I have, it would be kind of hard to try to find a certain amount of time that we could all sit in a room all together at one time. So the blog talk radio, I mean, you have the option of calling, and instead of you could do a pre-recorded and upload a show, but like I said, it's hard for us to do so. This option of broadcasting it, doing it live, and then getting the playback works great.
True. I can see that. So we had originally thought about doing it the way that you do it, and it was like, nah, let's just do it this way, and then we'll invite friends over, and if we do call somebody, we'll put them on speakerphone, and we'll mic the phone into the system, and then, because we only call like one person, and it was a prank phone call. We didn't even think the guy was going to answer the phone, but he answered the phone call by surprise. And, that's the gist of it. I mean, I don't know where I was going with that one, but
it's cool though. Yeah, I dug it. That was one of the reasons that I wanted to have you as a guest on the show. I said Fireball could talk. I said that cat can. I watched video on you. I seen you cut a promo right in the wrestling ring before, and I was like, he could talk. I said I want that guy on the show. I said plus I knew you did the Fireball's Grindhouse. I said that guy's got some stories to tell you that he'd be entertaining to listen to.
I know. I will tell you a story.
Okay.
Chase Brown. All right. It was the Fireball's Grindhouse birthday show last year. I'm backstage. Chase Brown's backstage. There's this girl, me and her, going at it. She climbs up on top of me. And backstage, there's these couches on two different sides. She climbs up on top of me, pulls her panties to the side. I'm wearing my wrestling trunk. She pulls my trunk to the side, and she throws it on me. And she's slowly, you know, grinding on me. And I look over her shoulder, and Chase Brown is just sitting there in his wrestling trunk with his white boots on, strumming his guitar. Like, nothing's going on whatsoever. Like, he doesn't even notice me. And I always forgot about that story. And that was the same night that me and Chase wrestled 42 minutes. And that's when I knew that Chase Brown was in way better shape than I ever was. Like, way better shape. Because we wrestled 42 minutes, and the match was over. And I was laying on the mat, sucking wind, just ready to die. And Chase Brown jumps up like he just got out of bed, like nothing even happened. You know what I mean? Like, he was just like, all right, what's next?
Well, they say, what was it? It was Mickey from Rocky said, women weaken legs. Well, maybe that chick doing you weakens your legs and took it out of you.
No, I'm fat. I'm fat. It's a Chase Brown.
Okay.
I'm in shape and I'm fat. That's what it is.
Yeah, them old in good shape wrestlers make the rest of us look bad.
Man, if you had to describe yourself, they never met you before, and they said, "Hey, man, I heard this Fireball guy is on the wrestling card tonight." What would they expect to see from you?
It would depend on the show, because I know I get labeled as being the hardcore guy, but if I was a third person party telling somebody what to expect from me, I would say you're probably going to see the fattest guy you ever seen in your life do a suicide dive. That's what I would tell them. I would say this. I'm going to quote Tommy Thomas on this one. Tommy Thomas said this about me one time when somebody asked him about me. And I quote Tommy Thomas said, "That kid sure can take an ass whooping."
Yeah, you can. You definitely can. You definitely take an ass whooping. But the more thing you know that a lot of wrestlers don't know in this era, you know how to sell. And a lot of wrestlers these days, they don't know that. Yeah, I watched your wrestling matches. I watched a wrestling match even you had at XWW against Vindicator. And that guy, he looks like he's like a pipe cleaner. And I remember who he was, but that's another story. Anyhow, he was always a cool guy. But anywho, you went out there and dominated the whole match, entertained the whole crowd, and at the end you did the job and put the guy over and it made it look like $1 million. I'm like, that's what wrestling's about right
there. Well, everybody knows. Anybody who knows the Vindicator knows you can't beat the Vindicator. He's the Vindicator. You can't beat him. I don't even know what a Vindicator is, but it's him.
I don't know what Vindicator is either, but I guess there are people that are vindictive, I guess. A Vindicator. But, I remember that, man. Like I said, so you were definitely really very entertaining. And you know what? I could teach anybody in the world how to do a leg drop. I could teach anybody in the world how to take a bump. But one of the biggest things that you can't teach someone in wrestling is how to entertain. You either have it or you don't have the it. And if I said to someone, do they have the it? And what's the it factor? That they can go out and entertain the crowd, put on a good show, and people would say, man, I enjoyed that. I'd come back and watch that guy again. You have that factor. A lot of people don't have it.
Well, thanks, man, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. You know your character well. You don't try to come across as anything that you're not. When I watch you wrestle, you come out very real. And that makes a difference. And that's one of the reasons I think that you connect to the fans when they watch you wrestle.
I think because, it's really not a gimmick. I think it's really, just Justin being Justin out there. He just tunes it up a little bit and. They always say that the best gimmicks in wrestling are when people basically just magnify their own personality and use that in the ring, because when you got a guy who's American trying to do a Russian gimmick, it doesn't really seem that well because, hey, the guy's not Russian.
Actually, it wouldn't be magnify, it would be amplify, not magnify. That would make it small, but I know what you mean. That Ric Flair said that. That was a great famous quote, and he was right. The best freaking characters you could ever do is yourself amplified, turned up, because what could come across more real than yourself? Nothing. I remember Rob Van Dam when they came, they were writing promos for him, and he said, I wouldn't say that, dude. And they tried to come and make him just come across as a stupid stoner. He was like, dude, I don't talk that way. I wouldn't say that. They said, oh, you know what you say. He goes, because I'm Rob Van Dam. I know what the hell I would say. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, he got the promo with that one-night stand where he's like, I have a wider vocabulary than just dude and what's up and yeah and stuff like that.
Speaking of,
of course he does.
Robin Bam, this has been like 5 years ago now probably, but he used to do a show on the internet. I think it was called The Whole Damn Show or something like that, but
mm-hmm.
It was like a little 10-minute show a week he would do on the internet of his life. I think it's when he stepped away from wrestling. I think his wife had gotten sick.
Yeah, she had cancer for a moment there.
Yeah, and he's stepped away from wrestling. And then at times he was just filming himself in everyday life. And that's when I found out that him and Samoa Joe were real good friends in real life. And, I watched the show, man. And I watched Rob Van Dam. I was like, Rob Van Dam seems like he'd be the coolest guy on the planet to hang out with, outside of wrestling. Like,
I got a chance to hang out and party with Rob Van Dam down in Fayetteville. He's a good friend of my buddy, the Insane Lumberjack Timber. And I'm not going to go in details, but I'm going to tell you something. Rob Van Dam is really Rob Van Dam. That is one of the coolest motherfuckers I ever met, period. We were hanging out after we got done partying. We went to the Waffle House. Rob Van Dam picked up the check and paid it for everybody in Waffle House. Class act through and through. That cat is cool.
I remember watching the video, which I thought was so funny because it was at the time that Rob Van Dam was like the world champion and the ECW champion and all that stuff. Remember, he had all them belts at one time, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it was when they got busted for smoking marijuana. And they get pulled over, and you can see the footage from the cop's car, and you hear them talking, and the cop is like, why are you sweating? And Rob Van Dam's like, I just came back from a wrestling show. And the guy's like, wipe your shirt off. He's like, I just got done wrestling. He's like, oh, the cop's like, so you're a wrestler? He's like, yeah. He said, I never heard of you. Who are you? He goes, oh, I'm the world champion, Rob Van Dam. And the cop was like, you're the world champion? He's like, yeah, WWE, you ever heard of us? You're the world champion, WWE. And Rob Van Dam was like, yeah, man, it's me. I'm the world champion. And then the cop was like, where's the belt? And, of course, the belt's laying in the back seat. And
right.
I didn't watch that video, just laughing, just thinking how funny it was. I mean, ultimately it sucked because Rob had to drop both the belts because of the incident. And I think it ended up with Sabu getting fired, but still, it was a funny moment to watch.
Yes, yes. Yep, yep. Well, Justin, looks like Big Country dropped out of the call. He probably had some technical difficulties. It is now 9:40. I think I'm going to wind it down here. I appreciate you coming on. Man, give anybody a shout-out you want to. Tell anybody how they can contact you if they want to book you or they want tell us information about where they can listen to your podcast. Tell us anything you want to.
Shout-out to – I think I shout-out everybody already, but, everybody who even knows who I am, kudos. There's a lot of people I can't shout everybody out. No, I'm going to give a shout-out to Frankenstein. Because he never gets enough shout-outs.
Frankenstein Monster gets a shout-out.
Yeah. If anybody wants to book me, talk to me, just look me up on my Facebook page, which is by my shoot name, Justin Whitaker. Or if you just type in Justin Fireball, and it still pops up as me. You can send me a message on there. I always respond back to you. It might take me a couple of hours, because sometimes during the day I don't check Facebook. But if you want to listen to my podcast, you can also catch it on my page. I post it. I pretty much do everything through Facebook. So if you want to find me on Facebook, there I am. And if you're a chick, want to look me up, same answer, Facebook.
There you go. And Big Country came back on the line here. So Big Country, I'm winding it down here. Say goodbye to everybody, brother.
Yeah, Justin, I guess I'll see you at work tomorrow.
Damn it.
There you go. But, if anybody, hold on, if anybody's a fan of Deathmatch Wrestling, remember next month, May 28th, for one time only, you're going to see Justin Fireball team up with me, Big Country, and take on Deathmatch Wrestlers, Fight Tooth, Barbed Wire, all the sick shit you guys are used to. So, if you're a fan of that, it's going to be off Brookshire Boulevard, the American Legion. May 28th, I'm telling you, if you like violence and people almost dying, that's the place to be.
Hey, Country.
If I'm not booked,
hey, you know what?
If I'm not booked, I'm coming out there to that. I'm going to watch that.
And don't forget, we'll also, next week, we'll be in Gastonia.
Yes, me and Justin Fireball will both be performing at Broncos. It's off, you get off exit 14, make a left, make a right. It's in a shopping center, Really doesn't look like much, but I'll tell you, it's a really good venue. Justin Fireboy will be taking on an opponent that he does not know of yet, and I will be defending my Milestone Smash Mouth Championship against Trey Chaos. Let's hope he keeps all of his insides on the inside this time.
There you go. And, well, that's going to wind it down. Next week's guest is none other than Tim Dixon. Used to run CarolinaIndependentWrestling.com. One time used to be the go-to everywhere website for pro wrestling in the Carolinas. He also used to be the play-by-play guy for NWA Charlotte, and as well as he's done announcing all over throughout the Carolinas. So I'm hoping he's got some great stories to tell us. He's a great talker, so I'm sure he's not going to be a loss of words. So on behalf of Big Country, Joey Nugs, and want to thank you, Justin Fireball, for coming out and being so candid, being real, sharing your time with us, man, and sharing some stories, man. I'm sure this is going to be a classic. I really enjoy it. And we do reserve the rights to bring you back another time, brother. So I hope we can have you as a guest another time.
Sure, man. No big deal.
All right, brother. Well, Big Country, man, I'll talk to you next week, or I'm sure we'll talk in a little while, but we'll talk to you next time. And here goes that beautiful bean footage, and I'm going to play that music, and we're out of here. See ya.
Hey.
Let's go to the next one, man.